This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is part four of a four-part series with Santo Torcivia from Market Insights Torcivia. Santo, we've been talking about Home Depot, and we've got sort of a new regime in there, a new chairman and CEO, and as we mentioned earlier, they have spun off their wholesale supply business, or sold it, rather. What are some of the things they're going to be concentrating on, you know, primarily talking about their floor covering department, as they sort of shift gears there to, I guess, concentrate more on being a retailer?
Well, they have to walk a tightrope because their whole store model is low cost. And so if they start adding too much service in a department, they run the risk of raising their costs and jeopardizing their whole merchandising philosophy. So, but they're definitely, all the customer satisfaction research I've ever done with consumers bears out, and still true, what was true 10 years ago is still true today. The two places that the major big box stores are weaker than the flooring specialty stores on the flooring category is in the area of installation, satisfaction, and in the area of service. The in-store service is deficient, as is the installation satisfaction. I'm sure they know that too. They do enough research of their own to know that those are their two areas of weakness, and I'm sure they're working on, as we speak, they're working on addressing those two situations. The areas they're very strong in, and stronger than floor covering stores, typically are pricing, store reputation, all the categories, convenience, all the categories that you would expect them to be strong in, they are. And they're going to continue to maintain their strengths there and address their weaknesses. And the installation and service weaknesses are significant. Their typical pricing strategy is to price the product low and the installation high, because once they've made the sale and then they start to discuss the installation, their strategy seems to be, well, we've got the customer now. We can back off and start to make some margin on the installation. Plus, they're using third parties to measure, to do all this other stuff, which is out of their control. They're going to be charged for all this stuff. So they're trying to recoup some of that as well. The home centers, that home installation thing, I think is a rat's nest that they really need to sort out. That's a huge problem for them, and they need to make some major changes there.
But you think, no doubt, they will stay focused on installation and improving that. I mean, they almost have to, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, right now, only about 20% of their sales are store installed. The remainder is cash and carry. Now, that's not to say once the customer takes it out, he doesn't get somebody to install it for him. But Home Depot or Lowe's hasn't done it. I've gone through and I've tested their insulation services, and they're horrible. They're absolutely horrible.
Now, Lowe's, on the other hand, seems
it's all done by third party who doesn't give a rip about customer service, or all they care about is fulfilling their request, and they're not going to take one step extra to make a sale for Home Depot or do anything for Home Depot other than what's required of them. Uh-huh. And I don't even think it used to be. I don't know if it's still true that the salespeople at Home Depot and Lowe's were not commissioned. They may have changed that. I know there was talk of changing that. So there's no incentive on the floor people's part to sell up or to try to sell other products or other additional services to the customer. They were strictly hourly employees, and I think they suffered from that as well.
I suspect that will no doubt change.
So. As they study this, they're going to find that's the one area they're way different than a lot of people. And they won't be as different in the future, I don't think.
Lowe's seemed to really have a handle, or at least a whole lot better handle, on the installation aspect of the business than does Home Depot.
Well, I don't think Lowe's tries as hard to do their own installations. At least they don't try to do it in the same way that Home Depot does. They don't seem to make as much big a mess of it anyway. And they're actually stronger in a little couple of different categories. Like, they're bigger in the resilient category, surprisingly, than Home Depot is. Home Depot, at one point, seemed to have given up on resilient. I think they're back. I know they're back putting rolls, resilient rolls, on their roll racks again. But Home Depot concentrated on things like ceramic and some of the other categories. But Lowe's has done a better job all around, just in the lighting in the stores, the feel of the stores, those service buttons they push, that you push in all the different departments. That's all recorded at Lowe's headquarters in North Carolina. And they keep tabs on how many times customers push those buttons in each department in each store. And from that, they determine whether a department in a given store is understaffed, or whether the how much traffic they have. There's a whole bunch of things they read off of that. And that's their advantage over Home Depot. Home Depot doesn't seem to feel the need to go in that direction, but Lowe's, I think, has gotten a significant advantage from that.
So you think then, going forward, one of the things that Home Depot will strive for is to be more like Lowe's?
Well, I think they'll try to. I don't know that they want to emulate a competitor. That's not necessarily a smart move. But I think they'll try to be better in the areas and be different at it at the same time. But Lowe's can address their situation much more real time, because they have direct feedback from their individual departments and their individual stores that gets them independent information about store staffing. When you press that button, it says, and the announcement goes off, service needed in the key to cutting department. That's also being recorded in a mainframe down in North Carolina. And those are accumulated over time, and they can soon find out, what the staffing situation is in a store. A whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of things you can read out of that. And they do that, and they do read that, and they do make adjustments accordingly. And I think it goes into store manager and department heads' assessments. So I think they're ahead of the game of Home Depot because of that system. And Home Depot will need to address their own problems in their own way. Mm-hmm.
But no doubt, from all the things we've been talking about this morning, independent retailers are going to have their hands full with what's happening not only with Lowe's, but what will be happening at Home Depot going forward, the Lumber Liquidators, the Empire Carpets, as well as the Floor and Decors. Competition is getting more rigorous, and they're challenged to continually improve.
Yeah, you take Empire today. They're communicating with customers all the time. You don't have to watch cable TV for an hour to see one of their ads. And they're communicating a message and an image that they hope will drive customers to call them up. And once that happens, it triggers a whole series of events then. And they're obviously trading off the fact that you can have a carpet installed, in 2 days. So, everybody's got a message that they've crafted. And if you don't communicate that to customers, what good is it?
Exactly right, exactly right.
You can sit around the boardroom and talk about how great your message is to each other.
But if it doesn't get out, it doesn't do you any good.
That's right. I mean, this may sound basic, but it's a basic fact of life that not a lot of people are communicating with customers out there.
So the message to an independent is to make sure that you're spending the appropriate amount of money to get that message in your customers' and potential customers' heads.
Yeah, and it has to be unique. It can't be, hi, this is Torcivia Floor Coverings, and we're here. I mean, you have to craft some kind of differentiation that's going to give a reason for a person to go in your direction and not somebody else's.
And high on the list there is, I would imagine, what, personal service that you care, you're a member of the community,
et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's different benefits you can advertise. There's also images. You know, there are people out there that have that advertise an image. You buy my product and you'll be associated with this image. You know, that's Lexus is a good example of that. You know, they sell benefits, but they also sell image. Mm-hmm. For that matter, the Marlboro Man was an image. Marlboro cigarettes were advertising more your what kind of guy you are if you smoke Marlboros than they were anything about the benefits of the product itself. And we don't want to get into what those benefits could turn into.
Yeah, but at least you felt cool while you were.
That's right. That was the whole point of that. Yeah. And that's what they were selling. That's it's important to communicate something.
Very interesting, very interesting. Well, that's going to have to be a good place to leave it. Santo, it's been most enlightening having you on here. I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, too. Thank you.
We've been talking with Santo Torrecivia. He heads the firm Marketing Insights Torrecivia. And this is Floor Radio.